Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast, the podcast that will help you embrace, grow, and be transformed by the transitions of life. Now here's your host, Debbie Ronca.
Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast. I'm your host, Debbie Ronca, and today we're going to talk about conflict in transitions. You know, we know that transitions can be difficult. They're difficult because they're all about change. And a lot of us struggle with change. I know I do, especially when we're confronted with the unknown or that measure of uncertainty. There's also that strong possibility that we're going to encounter conflict in the midst of that change. This is the conflict that comes in our season of transition. So, like, for example, say we have one of the spouses in a marriage has the opportunity for a career change. But with that opportunity comes the necessity to move to another city or another part of the world. If the spouses are not on the same page, conflict really can arise. You see, it's so important to understand how our transitions can affect our loved ones. And if we don't take that time to listen or be attentive, there could be a perfect recipe for conflict to grow. So what do we do? How do we handle this? Well, that's why today I wanted to bring to you Ron Price. He's a relational conflict expert, and he's going to share some tips and insights with us on how to handle conflict. Ron has been a mediator for over 30 years, and he's a life and relationship coach since 2001. He's an advanced Toastmaster, and he's also the current president of the New Mexico chapter of the National Speakers Association. Ron is the author of 3 books in his Play Nice in Your Sandbox series. He's a certified coach in Brendon Burchard's High Performance Habits, and he has trained for diverse groups such as the Raytheon Corporation, the University of California San Diego Health, the Utah School Nurse Association, and so much more. He holds a BA in sociology from the University of Rhode Island, and he has a master's degree in counseling from the University of New Mexico. And Ron is generally regarded as being able to make the finest guacamole you have ever tasted. Here to help us get a handle on conflict resolution and the hope of protecting our relationships, please welcome author, trainer, and avid pickleball fan, Mr. Ron Price.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much. It is a true joy and delight to be with you. In fact, I made some of my world famous guacamole just this last week, so you'll have to try it sometime.
I would love that. I hear rave reviews, so, you know, count that on happening. So, Ron, I'm really happy that you're here today. And, you know, like transitions, conflict can be experienced in just a variety of ways. You know, conflict arises in marriage. And I think about the parental conflict when our children are making those pivotal transitions in their life and we may not be on the same page with them and there's conflict. And I know always there's conflict in the workplace and even in the ministry. Conflict just seems to surround us. So, Ron, can you break down for us today how to be aware or recognize conflict and give us some tips on how to resolve it and hopefully help us protect our relationships?
Well, I'll be happy to do that, Debbie. And in fact, your introduction spurred something I wasn't going to share today, but I think it's totally appropriate because my wife and I faced a situation that you just described several years ago. We were living in the town in which she grew up. Her roots went deep. I was working mostly in a town about 70 miles away, 2 days and one night a week. So I was home most every night, but I got to thinking I'd rather live in that town because that's where I'm doing most of my work. I was a salesman. And so I asked my wife, how about moving to Farmington? She said, no. I said, okay. And it would have been a root canal for her to move. And I let it go for a few months. But then I said, hey, sweetheart, I'd like to talk to you about us moving to Farmington. She said, well, thanks for sharing. No. I mean, she wasn't that blunt. She's much sweeter than that. But no, she was not interested at all in that conversation. I let it go for a few more months, but I couldn't let it go. And so I came to her and I said, you know, sweetheart, here's the deal. We are one. We're an us. I don't have the right to tell you we're moving to Farmington. You don't have the right to tell me, no, we're not. We have a problem. So I said, I have a deal for you. How about if you give me the next year of our lives and you let me move us to Farmington where we currently live? And the next year is yours, no matter what. If you don't like it there, you want to move back, I'll get the moving van. She said, do you mean that? I said, I do. I said, I'll sweeten the deal for you. You give me the next year, let me move us to Farmington. I promise I will never ask you to move any further away from your mom than the 70 miles that Farmington is away from your mom right now. She said, deal. Debbie, that was 30 some years ago. I've lost count. And every now and then I say, well, what do you think, sweetheart? Was it a good idea to move to Farmington? Shut up, she says, as she gives me a good elbow in the side.
but you certainly bought some resolution there.
It was Solomonic wisdom that I was so thankful for, because again, it was a rock and a hard place. So that's just an idea. Come up, all right, let's break it down. Maybe let's do it on a trial basis and see. Another tip I want to add that goes right along with that is perspective. Life is life, but so much of life, good, bad, or indifferent, is how we choose to look at it. And we have more control over our perspectives than you might think. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. Totally agree. So tell us more.
Well, and again, she could look at it as, oh, my husband's making me move to Farmington and I don't want to, and oh, I'm going to be away from mom and oh. Or she could choose to look at it, you know, Farmington's a bigger city. There's more opportunities. It'll be an opportunity to meet new people and to grow. Our perspectives drive us. And if we're not careful, the perspectives we form of others and relationships and of ourselves, for that matter, are going to determine whether we're going to be in conflict, whether we're going to have a healthy transition or not. So I often challenge people to challenge your perceptions, because once we form them, that's just what they are. Whether they're still working for us, whether they're accurate or not, doesn't matter. There are perceptions, perspectives. We hold on to them sometimes too tightly.
I agree. It's that old let it go. Kind of open up one finger at a time to let something go. Well, that's great, Ron. What kind of tips do you have to share with us? I know so many of us just listening today, we encounter conflict all the time, and we could leave a conversation or leave a space or a place and say to ourselves, gosh, I wish I could have handled that better. I think in our hearts we want to, but we don't really have the tips and tools. So what could you share with us today?
One of my favorite teachings, Debbie, is about emotional hijackings. Now, you have a part of your brain that thinks. It's located in the front part of your brain. It's called the frontal lobe or the prefrontal cortex. It's the seat of logic and reason and rationale and thought. It's the command center of the, at least it should be. You also have the deep limbic system or the amygdala, which is the seat of emotions. If you're happy, you're sad, you're frustrated, you're excited, that's a different part of the brain that's in operation. And what can happen to us, Debbie, any of us, is that we can get so excited about something, so energized, so frustrated, so whatever, that we will literally stop functioning from the thinking brain. We will be totally and completely in the emotional brain. And when that happens, all bets are off. That's where road rage happens. That's where going postal happens. That's where, boy, a lot of behaviors that are followed with, oops, like you just said, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have said that, because we've let the emotional brain hijack our thinking brain.
I could see how that can happen. I really can.
You know, that's another bottom line to your introduction about why transitions can be difficult and conflict can be difficult. We're all, each one of us, dealing with FHBs, fallible human beings.
That's a good one.
And that's another tip, by the way, to remember that everyone you're dealing with is just as imperfect as you are. And most of us on our good days are free to admit we're not perfect, but we spend a lot of time trying to convince others that we are, and it's wasted effort.
That's so true.
Yeah. So to prevent an emotional hijacking, you need to call a timeout. you need to call a timeout. And again, Debbie, I have such respect for you and thank you that I know that's mutual, but we both have been in conversations where either we or the other person were in the emotional brain and we tried to talk, and that's just foolish. It's just foolish. You're not going to have a rational conversation when one or both are in the emotional brain. Hello.
So how do you handle that, Ron? Once you realize that, what are the next steps?
Yep. You call a timeout, but you got to do it the right way. What happens way too often, Debbie, is one person will get so frustrated and they'll just say, oh, timeout, and they'll storm out of the room. Well, yes, that shuts down the argument, but it doesn't fix the problem. Because the person left behind is wondering, well, wait a minute, are we ever going to talk about this? Are you coming back? Are you rejecting me? Are you rejecting the relationship? They don't know. So here's all your listeners have to do. Whoever calls the timeout must schedule the time in. In other words, Debbie, let's say it's you and I. We're having a conversation and I see that it's getting ugly. I can say one of two things, by the way. I can say, I need a timeout, or I can say, I think we need a timeout. I should never tell another adult, I think you need a timeout.
Agreed.
Yeah, you'll quickly find out how much they do. But if I say to you, I need a timeout, or I think we need a timeout, I need to then say, how about if we pick this up in an hour? Or how about if we get together at 2 o'clock? Or how about if we talk about this over dinner this evening, whatever. So I'm letting you know that I am rejecting the arguing. I am not rejecting the discussion. I am rejecting the fight, not rejecting you or our relationship, whatever that may be, coworker, any brother, sister, any relationship, certainly husband, wife. But I'm letting you know that I am not capable of talking well right now. And if we try, we're going to fail. So let's call a timeout. We'll pick it back up using the love talk. And probably I should explain the love talk next. What do you think?
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
All right. A basic principle of life, Debbie, is that we all want to be understood. Everybody you know wants to be understood by the important people in their life. And so what happens so often is you have two or more people trying to be understood at the same time. So Debbie, I'll put you on the spot here. If two people are talking, who's listening?
I would venture to say no one.
You would venture to be correct. And if no one's listening, obviously no one's understanding. So it's so simple. It's the Covey Habit 5, in fact, seek first to understand, then to be understood. If you know the other person wants to be understood, let them go first. You have a right to be understood too, but why not let them go first? And so, yes?
I was going to say, I think that is the hardest thing in a conversation, to be quiet and just listen, because I think a lot of people are thinking, what am I going to say next?
Yeah.
And so they're missing the context or the heart of what the person's trying to share. And so, yeah, that's definitely a skill to develop, isn't it? To learn to listen.
Yep. I did a LinkedIn post recently on the 5 levels of listening. I'll do it real quickly here. Ignoring, pretending, selecting, attending, and empathizing. And we don't listen with empathetic listening. But back to the love talk, which, by the way, stands for listen, understand, validate. Listen, understand, validate. I think you're right, Debbie. I think one of the reasons that we don't want to listen is we think we'll forget what we're going to say. But we also, I don't know, maybe there's a fear we might be convinced that they're right and we're wrong. It could be. So listen, understand, validate. And this is where you listen to really understand, not just the words that they're saying, but the message they want us to get. What's their heart saying, as well as their mouth?
I like that. And I agree, because I think once we hear that, then our response would be different. And we can start putting some conflict out you know, our words are life. So we can actually use our words to maybe end conflict rather than stir it up.
Yeah. I like to talk in terms of preventing conflict that should be prevented. It's not that big a deal. Or resolving conflict. But yeah, there are some major differences.
Yeah. So why don't you share with us some of those tips on how to, you know, either recognize it or how to resolve it, so we can be equipped the next time we find ourselves in a situation where we can sense, uh-oh, there's some conflict arising here.
Yeah, I can do that, Debbie. Let me just really quick, I threw in the V. We got sidetracked. I took you down a tangent. I apologize. Listen, understand, by validating, all you're doing is repeating back in your own words what you heard the other person say. Because so often in conversations, Debbie, we think we understood what the other person said, but maybe we didn't. Maybe we misinterpreted. Maybe they didn't say it right. Who knows? So you listen, you understand, and then you feed back what it is you understood to make sure that you're on the same page.
Great. Thanks for sharing that and giving us more clarity.
Yeah. And in terms of recognizing conflict, just it's going to happen. Conflict is inevitable. Damaged relationships are optional. And in fact, if we can learn to handle conflict well, then it can strengthen our relationship.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, we can handle attacks or what have you. So another tip is what I like to call be disruptive. Be disruptive. It's kind of like the timeout, but it's quicker. It's more in the moment. Again, you're having a conversation that you know is not going well. Here's what you need to do. Say, you know what? Hold on. I all of a sudden have a need to get some fresh air. How about if we step outside, let's go for a walk and we'll talk about this on the way. You get outside and you say, you know what? That conversation wasn't going well. We need to understand each other. You go first. Now talk to me civilly, but you go first. Help me to understand you. And then hopefully it's my turn. You're disrupting the negative cycle and hopefully getting it on a better path.
That's interesting, because when you first said that word disruptive, it almost sounds counterintuitive to conflict. But yet when you explain that, it makes total sense. Sometimes you just need to change the scenery, change the environment so you can think and hear differently. Well, yeah. I love this. What other tips do you have?
I love to teach the AGI concept. Assume good intent. Debbie, I'm going to put you on the spot again, but it's an easy one. Have you ever hurt, frustrated, disappointed, or offended another human being when you really didn't mean to?
Oh, you had to ask that question. Well, I have to be honest and say, yes, I have. Multiple times.
When I do this in a class, I people instantly raise their hands and I always say, what took you so long? We've all done that.
Yes, we have.
So what's the chance then that if somebody is just hurt, frustrated, disappointed, or offended you, maybe they didn't mean to. Maybe they're frustrated about something else and they just happen to take it out on you. Well, if you react, then you created the conflict, not them. They did whatever they did for whatever reasons. And again, probably because they're hurting. Probably something's not going well with them at the moment. You were there, so they took it out on you. If you could respond calmly, coolly, nicely, civilly, then it can help avoid an ugly situation. I heard a guy, Ken Futch, one time, when somebody says something to him that he finds offensive, he's a Georgian. I'll try to put on my best Southern accent. I'm from Southern Rhode Island, but that was a bad joke. But he says to the person very calmly, well, that sounded like an attack. Is that how you meant it? Now, he doesn't say, well, that sounded like an attack. Is that how you meant it? The fight is on. Very calmly, well, that sounded like an attack. Is that how you meant it?
Comes down to the tone.
Yeah, exactly right. And the person is probably going to say, you know what? No, I'm sorry. I was upset about this. I shouldn't have done it. So assume good intent. If somebody does or says something offensive, don't react right away with ugliness. look to find out what's going on with them, and maybe you can make a bad situation better.
That's great. Well, I know you have a few trips in your bag right there. Few tips, I should say. So can you just share a few more before we end our time together today?
Well, I can. I'm kind of looking at the time too here, Debbie, but I'll go as long as you'll let me go. A lot of times when you are in a situation where you know you should say something to somebody, you should apologize or you should make it right or whatever, and you have that internal dialogue that says, I don't know, what if they don't? And you keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Mel Robbins has a technique that I've adapted and I love called 5-4-3-2-1 go. And this is for any situation where you know you ought to be doing something. You ought to be writing that letter, a legacy letter, if you will, or you ought to be doing something to contribute to your transition, your life transition. Simply count down 5-4-3-2-1 go, and Debbie, you'll do it. There's a power, there's almost a magical element to counting backwards and doing whatever it is you've been putting off.
I agree with that. I remember hearing her speak on that and even getting out of bed in the morning, counting backwards. It just catapults you out of bed because you know time's up and you have to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm going to ask you for one more tip. I remember you mentioning one time about a thumb holding technique. Can you briefly share that with us?
Can I do it briefly? Well, we'll try. Again, when you're operating out of your thinking brain, you're in good shape. When you're operating out of your emotional brain, which, by the way, we need the emotional brain. God gave it to us for a reason. But it's a terrible decision maker. We shouldn't make decisions from our emotional brain. And so what I've learned is to, when you're getting upset, you should grab your thumb as an anchor, look at your fingers and think, why am I upset? What should I do about it? Your thumb again is kind of an anchor. By looking at your fingers and thinking, why am I upset? What should I do about it? You're forcing yourself back into your thinking brain. And you're probably going to say, you know what? I probably should go for a walk. I probably should go take a nap. I probably should go eat something. I should probably not say whatever words jump readily to my mind. I'll make, what did George Thompson say? I'll make the greatest speech I'll ever live to regret. Never use words that rise readily to your lips, so you'll give the greatest speech you'll ever live to regret. Grab your thumb, look at your fingers, and think, what do you need to do? You'll probably make the right choice.
Thank you for sharing that. And I have one final question for you, Ron. If you could send a card to everyone and place a phrase in that card that could help with conflict, what would that be?
I'd have to say, love yourself as you love your neighbor. Now, anybody who's remotely familiar with the Bible will think, well, I've got that backwards. The Bible says we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But Debbie, that's the problem. We do that. And oftentimes we don't love ourselves. We're often our harshest critic. We're often, we hear a voice inside our mind, the critical inner voice. We're putting ourselves down. And so we don't have a healthy self-regard, a healthy self-love. Well, Debbie, if I don't love myself, how can I love somebody else? Turn that around. If I do love and accept myself, it's a whole lot easier to love and accept others. So my card would say, love yourself as you love your neighbor.
I love that. And it definitely is another perspective, as you shared earlier, that we should have about ourselves. Because when we're at peace with ourselves, we can be at peace with others. And when we love ourselves, we truly can see the need in others and be more conscious of meeting their need and not being so focused on ourselves. That's great advice. I'll send you my address. Please send me that card.
Oh, okay.
Well, I wanted to thank you, Ron, for being with us. And I wanted to share with all of our listeners that Ron has created a course that has multiple videos and a workbook. And I'm excited for him to share what that course is about with you. And I'm going to have all of Ron's contact information in my show notes where you can get his course, how you can connect with him. So Ron, can you share a little bit about your course?
Yeah, thank you, Debbie. It's called CPR Mastery. CPR stands for Conflict Prevention and Resolution. Again, a lot of trivial matters can just be, they can be prevented from blowing up into a full-blown war, if you will. Some differences need to be resolved. So CPR, Conflict Prevention and Resolution. The first module is 20 videos. I call it Porcupine Skunks, Customers and Coworkers, How to Deal with Difficult People in Difficult Situations. The second module, yeah, I love that title. Thank you.
Me too.
The second module is 20 videos on how do you prevent the trivial matters. Some of the things we talked about today, but plenty more. And then the third module is, again, 20 videos of how do you resolve conflict. Each of them 5 to 7 minutes. Each of them has attendant worksheets with them. So they're great for staff meetings, family meetings. Individuals will be blessed by this course as well.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And I think every family, every corporation, and every ministry should probably have this as part of their repertoire, because I could see how it can teach and help prevent conflict and build relationships, which ultimately affects productivity, and everything will be great. So I highly recommend that you reach out to Ron. And Ron, can you share real quick your email and your website?
Sure. I made it real simple. RonPrice.com is my website. It's undergoing some transformation as we speak, or about to. But email is Ron@RonPrice.com, Ron@RonPrice.com. I have a Calendly account. If anybody needs or wants a 15-minute consultation, be more than happy to visit with you. Send me an email. I'll send you that link and we'll set up a time. Ron@RonPrice.com.
Great. Thank you for saying your email again. And thank you for sharing your wisdom and your expertise on the Transition Bridge podcast. You have been an awesome guest. Thank you for helping us to recognize, learn how to handle, and bring resolution to the conflict in our lives. I highly recommend that you all reach out to Ron. I know myself, I've learned so much from him. Thank you, Ron, for spending time with us today.
Debbie, it's been a delight, as I expected it would. You didn't let me down at all. Thank you so much. Let's do it again sometime.
We shall.
Thank you for joining us today on the Transition Bridge podcast. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed listening today, please go ahead and subscribe or review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out the show notes. And for more information about Debbie, go to DebbieRonca.com. That's DebbieRonca.com.